You're listening to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your hosts, Chuck Elite and Christian Killjoy, brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
Thank you all for applauding. You know, I'm glad everybody's enthusiastic, okay? Listen, first of all, welcome to Dynamite Fallout. I am your host, Christian Killjoy. Although tonight, I'm not going to be fucking Christian Killjoy tonight. I'm going to be Christian Rage. Because I have a lot of things to say after we reviewed tonight's episode of Dynamite. But I can't do it alone. So tonight, I introduce my co-host, as always, Minister of Sinister. Minister? Hello? All right, well, we're expecting some technical difficulties with Minister's mic. I don't know what's going on, but, yeah. We just have to wait until Minister's mic is situated, or he may be muted himself. I have no idea. But, you know, it's suddenly, poetic, you know, the sabotaging of the show, just like AEW sabotaging itself. Okay, I don't know what's happening. The minister's having some technical difficulties. We'll just have to wait and see. Whoa. Oh, people. I love AEW, okay? That's not a surprise, all right? It has flaws. It's not a perfect company. But,
all right, my brother, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. All right, now we get up to speed.
All right. Yeah, sorry about that, man. I had to call in. Something with an issue with my mic, brother, but I understand the somber moment. I understand the sovereign moment, but yeah.
All right. Let's start the review. Anyway, no, actually, before we start the review, I'm going to say this. All right, that those predictions that we did for the pay-per-view, fuck.
Right.
Fuck these predictions,
yeah.
Because if they don't give, if they ignore and ruin the pay-per-view, then we're going to fuck the predictions, all right? It doesn't fucking matter no more.
They really don't. I mean, those predictions are fucking garbage now. The results of the pay-per-view are garbage.
It's fucking trash. They ruined what was actually a great pay-per-view because of what happened. But we'll talk about that after the review. So let's start things off with AEW Dynamite, which held in Buffalo, New York, home of two wrestlers in particular, MJF and Daniel Garcia. All right. We start things with a video package recap of MJF with no CM Punk, by the way. CM Punk was not in the video package. We'll explain why later. if you already don't know, or maybe you do know, but, you know, for those people who don't know. They revealed that MJF was the masked individual who hijacked the casino ladder match and won the casino ladder match. So then MJF himself, actually before MJF even came out, Tony Khan, who, by the way, got booed tonight by Buffalo, New York, and rightfully so, I'll express my reasons why he deserved to get booed.
Yes.
Said that for reasons, the world championship has to be stripped, and for the trio's tag titles to be stripped. And now we have a new tournament for the world title. They're not doing the interim thing, which is good. You know, it's a tournament to determine the new world heavyweight champion. The combatants were Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson. On Rampage this Friday is going to be Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin. The winner of the Bryan Danielson versus the Hangman Page will meet Chris Jericho on next week's Wednesday night, Dynamite. And the winner of the Darby and Sammy match will also meet Jon Moxley at Dynamite. And then whoever wins that match, whoever is the final two, will face each other at the Grand Slam to determine the new World Heavyweight Champion. Now, for the Tag Trios titles, it was contested in a match between the Death Triangle, Rey Fénix, and Penta, versus the Pudding Club, the Orange Club, a.k.a. the Job Squad, which is Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Trent Beretta, the loser force. And then we had MJF's promo, which was a great promo, by the way. Of course, he couldn't say what was on his mind. He couldn't say, you know, the juicy bit. He said that he was here. He got paid a lot of money by Tony Khan to be here. He said that he didn't need to participate in this tournament because he has the poker chip from the casino ladder match, and he could cash in the opportunity whenever he feels like it, sort of like the Money in the Bank briefcase. But then he got interrupted. By the way, he was kissing ass to the crowd. He had one of their jerseys. So at first he appeared to be babyface. Then Jon Moxley interrupted him, and MJF pulled his facade. He was actually a heel. He was lying. He took off the jersey. He made fun of the football team in Buffalo, New York. And him and Jon Moxley had an argument. Jon saying that he was full of shit and that he was not in the mood to deal with MJF, so he told him to get out of this ring or make him do it. So MJF got out of the ring. Jon Moxley cut a great promo saying that he loves this company, that he is the heart and soul and all that, and that he wants to be legendary. Minister, what is your thoughts about this opening of Dynamite? What transpired here?
I'll chop it up, man. Well, let me chop it up. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
All right, super, super. So let me chop it up, man. I really enjoyed it. I thought, you know, MJF coming out at the beginning was outstanding. It was the way to go to try to get him back in the fold after, you know, literally getting buried by the situation after the pay-per-view the other night. So, yeah, I think this was the best way to go about it, get him back out there in the front of the whole thing, of the situation, and try to make the best of it, try to get back what you – obviously, you're not going to get back what you lost, but, you know, get back some essence of it and move forward. I thought his promo was badass coming out as a babyface with the jersey of the, you know, the Buffalo Bills and giving their quarterback credit, saying that he was the best ever and the best quarterback ever and just kissing ass to the crowd. He was pandering. It was interesting. I knew it wasn't going to last long, but I didn't know it was going to – it was going to end as fast as it did, but it was great the way it happened, though. And I was actually glad it ended the way it did. And then he took the mic and cut a brilliant promo. brilliant promo talking about we still don't know what side he's on. We still don't know. He's still making it about himself. He's still taunting Triple H. He's calling Triple H the greatest wrestler ever. He's still talking about WWE. So he's turning it back to him now. He's trying to fight. And now Punk is gone, obviously, for some time. We don't know. But MJF did a great job at turning it back to him, turning the focus back to him. So here comes John Moxley, who I still hate his fucking music. But still, you know, John Moxley's words at the end there, where he says it's time to be a legend, he's absolutely right. Fuck, dude. It seems like, you know, nobody else can handle it. Nobody else can handle it. Fucking Hangman Page couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle shit. He had the worst fucking run ever. Fucking CM Punk with his issues. Prima Donna. So, yeah, somebody has to step up. John Moxley's at the right place at the right time. His promo was fucking spot on tonight, talking about how, you know, that he fucking sucked. That fucking, what's his name, fucking has to get out of his ring and shit. So the other guy, MJF, I love the way he did this too, man. Taking off his clothes and shit, having trouble with the shirt. You're selling it to a T. He's fucking masterful.
I don't think that was on purpose. I think he legit had trouble taking off that shirt.
Whatever the case was, man, it was good. It was good work. They played it out good. I'm looking forward to what happens with going forward. You have to at this point. I mean, you can't look back now. I enjoyed
up
the
next,
second, bro.
Yep.
What about
up
you?
Next, we have.
Did you enjoy it?
What? I thought it was
did
great.
Did you think it was a good segment?
Yes, it was. It was excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good segment. I was glad to see that.
Yeah. Up next, we had the AEW Trios Championship match between Death Triangle and the Best Friends, Orange Cassidy. This was a great six-man tag match. Very great work. Pac and his group completely destroyed these fucking jobbers. The losers. A funny thing, I don't know if this is real or not, but earlier today before the show and before this show, I read somewhere that Jim Ross actually went to TK and told TK to fire Chuck Taylor because he's a fucking loser. Can't confirm that that's real or not, but if it's real, good. He is a fucking loser. Excellent match, and the right team won. Death Triangle is the new Trios World Tag Team Champion, which makes Pac a double champion. Congrats. Minister, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was, a good match. It was a fun, good match. Good, fun match. Best Friends, though, they're just not there yet, man. And it's actually a shame that we had to even have this match. You know, it's so fucked up the way things happen, but kudos for Death Triangle for stepping up and also Best Friends for putting on a good match. So there we have it. Death Triangle with fucking Pac as a double champion now. Good performance all the way around. That one guy from I got to say, though, that one guy from Best Friends, he looks a little bit like an overgrown fucking AJ Styles.
That's Chuck Taylor. That's the guy that Jim Ross wants to fight.
Chuck, yeah, it's Chuck Taylor. He looks like an overgrown AJ Styles, but I digress.
Up next, we had Penelope Ford versus Toni Storm for Eliminator Championship match. This was nothing special. These two were good with each other, but that's about it. Nothing really exciting happened. Toni Storm won. That's about it.
Well, you know what I noticed about the thing I took away, Christian Rage, if I may, from this match was the finish. It seems like maybe that wasn't the planned finish. So maybe Ford got hurt or something or got stung or something on one of the moves there at the end because Storm looked at the referee and asked if the referee had counted three.
And so to me, that sends a message like they didn't perform their last move. You know, before they go out to do a match, they plan their moves and they talk about which finisher they're going to use and shit. And like the way it happened, it just seemed like Storm wasn't sure that that was the way the match was supposed to finish. So I don't know, maybe Ford got hurt. But yeah, it was just a filler match, I guess, if you will. I guess just to, you know, showcase Storm a little bit. But really, it did nothing for either woman.
After the match, the Acclaimed entered the arena with a thunderous ovation after they had a tremendous tag match at All Out, which was ruined because of what fucking happened after the pay-per-view. Thanks. Then Swerve Strickland came out, you know, getting booed. Seems like Swerve is turning heel. But we don't know about Keith Lee, because if you paid attention, Keith Lee was the only one who showed respect to Billy Gunn in the Acclaimed, but not Swerve Strickland. So I don't know if this is teasing the breakup of Swerve and Keith Lee, because they're getting the rematch for the tag titles against the Acclaimed. So I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe this is the breakup of Swerve and Our Glory happening, because Swerve is obviously turning heel, but we don't know about Keith Lee, Minister.
Yeah, and you're right, man. That match was spot on from the pay-per-view. That was one of my favorite matches right there. I thought it was a good match. So, yeah, we'll have to keep everybody posted on what develops here. Could possibly be the end of this tag match, which is, you know, a shame, man. Ending before it begins makes me wonder why.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Backstage, we had Tony Schiavone. Yeah, we don't know why. We do know why. Backstage, Tony Schiavone interviewed Chris Jericho, who exclaimed, "This is my fucking locker room, and no one is taking it away from me, ever." You'll know why he said that, because, you know.
Yeah.
Up next, we had the TNT Championship match between Wardlow versus Tony Nese. Again, this was a no-nothing match. You know, it's usually Wardlow beating the shit out of a jobber. But this was the most interesting part of this match was after the match, when Wardlow grabbed the mic and confronted all the geeks on Twitter saying, "Wardlow should do this, Wardlow should do that. He's going to show everyone in the locker room who the fuck he is. And he's going to show the world who he is." So that was the only top moment in that segment, in that match. Minister?
Yeah, I'm still kind of shocked that they didn't try to work in Wardlow into that match that they have for the, you know, for the title, for the World Heavyweight Title Championship, as they call it. To me, this would have been a good spot to go ahead and interject Wardlow into the scene and just, you know, maybe even have him as a double champion for a little bit. Who knows? This was a, you know, it was just a basic squash match, I guess. The thing you missed earlier, my friend, if I can, was the part where Chris Jericho was hyping the match that was going to transpire between Sammy and Danny Garcia and Yuta, where he talked about how, you know, he believes in him even though they're not walking out there with him tonight, just as he didn't walk out with them Sunday. I thought that added to the story as far as Chris Jericho goes, but Tony Nese, just jobber.
Yeah, I don't even know why they hired him. Up next was the first tournament match of this World Heavyweight Title Tournament for the third time ever in AEW history. It's Adam Page versus Bryan Danielson. Oh boy, this was a great match. You know, don't get me wrong, this was fantastic. This was a great match, but the main story is the fact that Adam Page got fucking booed out of the building tonight. We'll explain why. But all I can say is, he fucking deserves it. He fucking deserves this for everything. Deserved it. He got booed. He ruined his momentum. He used to be the top babyface. He used to be over. Now he's fucking booed. In a span of a few months. Great. Bryan Danielson won. He advances in the tournament. It was a great match. Minister?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. I actually thought that the wrong guy came out on top. I was looking for Paige to win.
No.
But
no.
I knew that Danielson would be the guy to win. But I wanted Paige to win. But I knew that Danielson would be the one to win, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Although if Paige would have won, he may not have made it out of there alive. The fans didn't care for Paige tonight.
Yeah. Up next, we had the main event, actually. Wow, we're already at the main event of the show. So quick. It was time for Daniel Garcia versus Wheeler Yuta for the ROH Pure Championship match. Daniel Garcia is also from Buffalo, New York, so he had the hometown welcome, Heroes welcome. This match was incredible. It was great. Fantastic, in my opinion. And it crowned your new ROH Pure Champion, Daniel Garcia. He is your new Pure Champion. After the match, Bryan Danielson came back to the ring. He first, really, Yuta shook his hand, congratulating Daniel Garcia for winning. And then Bryan took the belt away from him so that he could put the title around Garcia's waist. But that infuriated Jericho. Jericho screaming at him, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Like, this feud is still going to go. Daniel Garcia has to make a choice at this point. Is he a sports entertainer, or is he a pure wrestler? We will find out of the upcoming month. Minister, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think he's going to be, you know, become a pure wrestler, and he's going to be in ROH. I don't know, maybe Jericho is going to follow him to ROH, chase him down, if you will. And maybe Garcia will put him over there in ROH. Who knows? With Jericho, you never know what happens because, you know, it's his company. So you never know what he's going to do, right? He always does what's best for business. And certainly that might be best for business because, after all, he's the ROH champion now. So that's my question. Does that mean that he's going to be put on ROH television? He's no longer going to be on AEW Dynamite?
Well, that's not true, no, because really Yuta shows
FTR.
Up every week for our...
Yeah, and FTR
really
does, too, so. But it adds another layer to the story, you know, with Jericho, and you're right, he's going to have to choose one way or another, and obviously they're going to have a feud, and it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm invested in this story. I've seen it from the beginning.
Yep.
I actually care about Daniel Garcia. He's the only one I cared about ever in that whole fucking faction. And, you know, look at the other guys. I think we've seen a fucking promo sprinkled out by the other guys today. I still don't know their fucking names. I don't care.
I can't blame you.
I don't even want to see them on my TV, but there they are every fucking week. Even if it's just a 20 or 30 second clip, still, there they are. But I digress. So, yeah, kudos to Garcia, and he's moving on, as he should. The cream rises, and this is him rising, you know, and separating away from, you know, being with a gang. Now he'll be with Daniel Bryan, you know. Later on, he'll be with Daniel Bryan and shit. And then, you know, he'll turn on Daniel Bryan, and they'll have that. It's good. This is good. This is good shit. You know, some of the other stuff, I don't know. Like we totally didn't talk about Christian Fuck Boy Jungle Boy.
Christian and Jungle Boy, you know, Jungle Boy said that he's upset that Luchasaurus betrayed him, and he said that you were holding me back, Luchasaurus. Jungle Boy came off a little bit heelish in the promo, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it is what it is. They're still not done. You know, it's not over.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, I somewhat care about this you know, storyline too, because I've been watching it from the beginning.
Yep. But yeah, that's it for the AEW review. It was a great show overall, but now it's time to talk about the fucking elephant in the room now. Okay. I've never been so fucking angry in my life of what the fuck been happening. I haven't been so angry since WWE. I can't believe this. Okay.
Wow.
So let's recap how this all started. May 25th, 2022, Adam Page does an unscripted promo on CM Punk building up towards their match at Double or Nothing, in which he talks about saving the company from CM Punk and all this nonsense. So it starts with that. Then
which I thought was a great promo.
What?
At the time. Yeah, I thought it was a great fucking promo. I remember that promo. That was a great fucking promo. In fact, I just watched it recently again. And that was a great promo. And I remember I said it when we, you know, talked about it. We were already doing the show. And I said
now,
that was a great promo that he did.
Now it's not a great promo.
Well, it's only not a great promo because fucking Punk is such a pussy, he can't fucking, you know, move along. He can't take he can't take the truth.
It's not, yeah. So, at the pay-per-view, CM Punk wins. Then he becomes injured. His foot shatters, and we have to do an interim
again?
Championship, right?
Oh,
no,
yeah,
I'm recapping.
Yeah, we're back in time. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. So and he's injured again, too, so for real.
Right.
He's injured again. So foot shatters. He has to take time off, and they do the interim championship. Okay. Months later, July, or August, CM Punk comes back, helps John Moxley. And then the week after that, CM Punk does a receipt, offshoots, unscripted, calling out Adam Page to come down to the ring while Adam Page was not even in the building. So there we go. It starts the trouble there already. Then we have the next week, the week after that, CM Punk loses the world title to John Moxley. And then, you know, the backstage thing, it's tame at this point a little bit, but it's still like heat. Then we go to the Go Home Show, where we meet Ace Steel, who is a coach slash best friend, one of Punk's friends. He gives a great promo hyping up CM Punk to face John Moxley at the pay-per-view.
A lot of passion in that promo. It was great.
A lot of passion. Then we go to the pay-per-view itself, which, okay, it's going normal. CM Punk gets cheered by the Chicago. John Moxley gets booed because he's in Chicago. But it all goes wrong. See, it becomes half and half now of cheers, which isn't supposed to fucking happen. Because you would think CM Punk would get fucking cheers mostly. But no, half people are cheering for Punk and then half are cheering for Moxley, even though they were booing him from the beginning. So CM Punk beats Moxley, and then MJF returns, right? And MJF gets a bigger reaction than the hometown boy CM Punk. So CM Punk does the media scrum, right?
He's all triggered.
Yep, he's all triggered. He's tired. He's angry. And then he's noticed this guy, Nick, who does improv, and he used to be with Colt Cabana. And then he goes on a tirade about Colt Cabana, talking about the lawsuit and helping him pay the bills and all that bullshit. Talking about
his mom being on his bank account.
Yeah.
Fucking all kinds of shit that was totally unnecessary. Made him look petty.
It had nothing to do with the pay-per-view. He didn't talk anything about Moxley or MJF or anything. And then he curses out the Elite, the EVPs, who are Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. He curses them out, saying that we have useless EVPs who can't run a target. And then, he calls Adam Page a fucking idiot.
Wait, he accused them of leaking stuff to the media.
Yeah, that he got Colt Cabana fired, which I don't think that's true.
Accuses them of fucking leaking shit to the media. And he was, keep going, sir. Keep going.
He then calls Adam Page a fucking idiot. Calls him a fucking idiot. Why would he cut a promo on me? I don't understand. I don't get it. So, yeah, so he's cursing out the Young Bucks, Adam Page, the Colt Cabana, and Tony Khan is sitting right next to him, and Tony Khan is doing not a good thing.
Looking like a fucking mark.
He was a fucking idiot. He's looking like a sad puppy next to this shit. Awful. So, the scrum continues, right? It's a disaster at this point. It's a fucking disaster. Then, at the end, Chris Jericho whispers to him, some shit is going down. Turns out, the Young Bucks, the Kenny Omega, bust down CM Punk's fucking locker room door, went to his locker room, and then they had a fist fight. A fucking fist fight. And then Ace Steel, the coach, grabbed a steel chair, hit Nick Jackson in the eye with a steel chair, knocking him out. Matt Jackson is knocked out by CM Punk. And then Ace Steel, the guy who did the Go Home Show promo. And pulled Kenny Omega's hair and bit him like a fucking dog. And then a lot of people had to stop the fight. A lot of people that were involved tried to break up the fight. That was Christopher Daniels, Pat Buck, some other guys.
He bit him like a fucking dog, bro.
Awful. And so, as of right now, Christopher Daniels, Pat Buck, that Chinese guy that follows Kenny Omega, the bald Japanese fuck, whatever his name is, I don't know his name, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are all suspended. We don't know what's going to happen to CM Punk or Ace Steel yet, but CM Punk is fucking injured again during the match with Jon Moxley because of a top rope move. So he's out again. So they can't fire him.
Which move was that? Where at in the match?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
I don't know, but they can't fire him now because he's fucking injured. He could sue the company. They can't fire him now. So, yeah. Everybody is suspended. CM Punk is stripped off the world title, even though he just lost it 2 weeks ago, and then he got it back, and now he lost it again. And the Young Bucks ran this fucking tournament, this Trio Tag Tournament, also they could fucking win it because they're fucking marks, and now they get stripped of it.
You got to go with CM, you got to go with fucking Jon Moxley at this point, so that he can become that legend. You got to put him up there, and you got to push the fuck out of him at this point. And fucking CM Punk has lost the spot. whether he comes back or not.
At this point, I fucking hate everybody that started this. I hate Adam Page for that fucking shoot promo because it's all his fault because of the shit that started this shit. I hate CM Punk for being an unprofessional twat. I hate the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega because they're EVPs and they think they run fucking shit. They think they're fucking... I don't give a fuck about the Bullet Club. They're just NWO DX fucking wannabes. They believe they're all fucking...
I hate them for fucking wearing pajamas every fucking week.
This is a fucking embarrassment. This is a fucking disgrace. These are grown men acting like fucking children. This is embarrassing. But you know who's most embarrassing? The fucking the owner of the company, Tony Khan. He's a bitch. This guy's a fucking bitch.
What the fuck was that?
He has lost complete control over this fucking situation, and he's a fucking bitch.
He is, bro. He's a fucking mark. He's out there acting like a fucking mark, a rich fucking mark. This is his fucking little circus, his private fucking circus. And, you know, and I mean, you saw the way he was acting out there with CM Punk sitting beside him with a fucking lust in his eyes. He had fucking lust in his eyes. Fucking, when Punk was fucking saying stupid shit, Punk was fucking out there saying that, like he's the fucking guy of the company. I don't know exactly what he said, but he was out there coming off like he's the man that's carrying the company on his back.
Let's recap what he's done so far. Let's fucking recap, okay? He, Darby Allin, and what's happened to Darby Allin? His fucking momentum has been fucked since day one. He can't win a fucking feud to save his life. He can't win a match. He had a fantastic feud with MJF. That's the only thing I could say. You know, a fantastic feud with MJF. That's the only thing I could say about that. Then he wins the world championship, vacates it, has injury. Then he comes back. He loses it to Jon Moxley. Then he wins it back at Chicago. I just summed up his fucking run in AEW. That's it. That's been his entire fucking run. He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, so he knows he hasn't fucking done anything. He fucking knows this. He's a fucking master at this shit. He hasn't fucking done anything. So what does he do? He has to fucking create something. So when that fucking idiot fucking brought up fucking, what even happened? Did somebody bring up Colt Cabana or did he just fucking start shooting?
Nobody brought up Colt Cabana at all. He's the one who started it.
So there you go. So nobody even brought it up. He just fucking started ripping on fucking Colt Cabana and shit and fucking, and to make everything about him. Because you just described what he's fucking done since he's been in AEW. It's absolute. What has he done? Recap it again.
He beat Darby Allin. He beat MJF. He won the world title, broke his foot, had to go away. He lost to Jon Moxley in the unification match. He won the title back at All Out, and then he got stripped of the title. That's it.
What was the reason for him losing the title to Jon Moxley in such a squash like that?
I don't know.
That's fascinating.
I don't know.
Was he already throwing a tantrum talking about leaving because he didn't like it? Because, you know, Adam Page, when he cut that promo back in fucking May, the reason it fucking struck Punk was because it was true. And then he got fucking hurt. He couldn't have that fucking mic in his hand. First opportunity he comes back, he fucking talks about it. Two fucking wrongs don't make a right, but yet there he was. And what fucking Adam Page was talking about, I mean, it rang true. And it rang so true that Punk got so fucked up about it that he couldn't shut the fuck up. And then it culminated, you know, Sunday. And then fucking Matt Jackson and his brother, what's his name? Matt and...
Nick.
Yeah, Matt and Nick Jackson and fucking Kenny Omega. Well, fuck, man. They're like, hey, man, this motherfucker's over here fucking ripping on us, too. I mean, we fucking started this fucking company. Even though they're fucking assholes and shit and whatever the fuck they are, right? They're still, man, they got to be treated with some fucking respect. And you can't expect them to not get pissed off when fucking somebody's up there ripping them on their own fucking platform that they created. Well, you goddamn right there's going to be some fucking action. You goddamn... And then to have the fucking nerve, bro, to fucking say, and if you want to talk about it, come find me. Well, that, guess what? That was them motherfuckers going to find you. And the fact that they fucking had to kick the goddamn door down because he wouldn't open the fucking door says it all. If he would have just opened the fucking door, maybe they could have just fucking talked and fucking hashed it out. But no, he wouldn't open up the fucking door, so then there you go. They had to kick the fucking door down, and then, you know, shit happened. We're lucky nobody got shot, I guess.
Yeah, but still.
Or stabbed.
They're supposed to be EVPs. They're supposed to be fucking EVPs, and they're fucking busting down locker room doors? Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, I know, but at the same time, you know, shit happens. Yeah, they're supposed to. Maybe, and you know what? And that, again, that's another part of the problem right there, too. It's not in best interest of fucking business to have your fucking EVPs being also so involved in it, like being fucking champions and being, you know what I mean? Like, that's, they should have never been EVPs to begin with. Maybe investors and shit like that, you know, and but EVPs?
Now there's legal investigation and cops involved in this shit now.
Oh, my God. The rise and fall of AEW? I mean, we could see it over this shit.
No, I think AEW is going to rise back up. We'll just have to wait. All right? Punk goes, who cares? Let him go. Who cares?
At this point, I say fuck him. Let him go. Let him go on. Move on. He's toxic.
I'll tell you one thing. CM Punk is not going back to WWE. I know damn sure he ain't going back to WWE.
Yeah, so fuck him. Let him go back into his fucking misery the way he was for 7 fucking years.
Malakai Black had to be released unconditionally because... He has a mental health issue. We wish him all the best.
Who?
Hopefully he'll Malakai Black.
Oh, yeah.
We wish him all the best. Hopefully he'll return to AEW in the future. Oh, yeah.
I mean, bro, he was out there fucking, you know, the reporter fucking asked, you know, hey, what's your name, sir? And the reporter said, Nick. Fuck the Penguins. I mean, what the fuck is that about? He's wearing a Penguin shirt.
Oh, fuck.
And the guy's up there acting like a fucking cunt.
Fuck this. And then he was eating a fucking muffin while talking. What a fucking dickhead.
I mean, okay, he's hungry or whatever. You know, I get that. And man, you know, he fucking dropped the fucking promo or you know, gave out the name of the bakery and shit. You know, I get that, okay, but fucking, you know, calling out fucking the goddamn dude just for wearing a fucking Pittsburgh Penguins shirt? I mean, come on, man.
Fucking disaster.
Tony Khan is fucking sitting there with fucking a gleam in his fucking eyes. And then he thought he was fucking finished talking about Colt Cabana, he comes back again and fucking dishes out on him again. What the fuck, bro?
Fucking
he even talked about fucking about MJF.
He said because he keeps working with pricks.
Yeah, that's what it is. And about the fucking grass being greener on the other side, and it's only green if you water it and shit. You know, Fuck. Wasn't he there with fucking WWF? The grass.
Yeah.
He's in the same. He's a fucking hypocrite, bro. It's fucking horrible that he's that way. And don't get me wrong, I'm not fucking standing up for the other guys either. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
But still, all indications point that fucking Punk was completely out of line with that. He could have just very easily fucking just gone on with the fucking scrum the way it should have been. But he let it go to his fucking head that he was eating muffins from fucking Mindy's Bakery along with drinking some fucking health drink or whatever the fuck it was that he was drinking. He let all that shit go to his fucking head.
Fucking idiot. They're all fucking idiots.
Yeah, and they all got you pissed off, and that's what's fucked up about it, bro.
Yeah.
You can't be the only one. I mean, look, dude, I'm me too. I mean, I'm pissed off about it too. Goddamn, bro. Here we're talking top stars. Taking part, top stars that I know. Now I gotta fuck, they're forcing me to fucking learn who the fuck these pipsqueaks are. These fucking pipsqueaks that ain't got no business on my fucking television. But yet here they are. Because if they're not hurt, they're fucking off getting suspended. Sons of bitches.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been your AEW review show. It was never meant to be this mad or somber, but everybody that was involved in this, fuck Tony Khan, fuck CM Punk, fuck the Young Bucks, fuck Kenny Omega, fuck Adam Page, fuck Colt Cabana, fuck all you. Minister of Sinister, close yourself out.
Hey, thanks for listening. Picked up a new country, picked up Italy. I think I may have said it. I'm not sure. But, yeah, thanks for listening out there to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Peace, motherfuckers.
All right. And I've been Christian Killjoy. Keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Good night, everybody. Fuckers.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.